Oh, did you see the there was that thing that Theo was showing in his video that you can plug it into your computer and then you can have network access and control. Like that basically it's a device where you plug in the computer HDMI and a USB-C cable, and then it creates a virtual like server, so then you can do like kind of virtual machine login with from anywhere in the world and physically like kind of give it the input for the computer mouse and keyboard like
I didn't
input.
see that, but that's pretty dope.
So like
I'm using Tailscale for this. It's been like good and disappointing at the same time. Disappointing part is on me, like purely my mistake not setting it up all the way too. But it's been good, even free tier. But it would be nice to have something like more sturdy. Let me just.
get it done.
Well, you have a real device. What is pixelate if it's not real device? So stop finding excuses and do it. What is this? Review, flashcards, blank card, fixed direction. First of all, I said that there should be no blank translation cards. If there is, it's a bug. So you can filter it out, just make sure the app, continues. But if there is no translation, it's a bug. Blank translation prod audit needs prod. I have no idea what kind of URL you need that. What? Okay. I don't know what it means. Purchase, restore, automation, store kit, play billing config. I mean, all should already work, so I really don't know what these points are. Also, you need to make sure that we are sending emails to users like this intro emails and weekly recaps. I kind of have a feeling that something broke 2 weeks ago and we never fixed it. You have a lot to do. Use planning with piles and tackle each pedantically. Okay, that's another 5 hours.
I have a really good prompt. I share like I wrote it like very quickly on the spot, but it's like kind of the principle of it I find that is like very useful, where it's like you could adapt the beginning if it's something that you're creating from scratch, but the idea is that if you've been have like a repo that you started with Opus or 5.5, then you would give it this with Fable or 5.6 Soul High. Look at this project and audit its quality and intent. Ask me 5 questions and improve the overall performance, quality, and capabilities to best practices July 26. Use separate sub-agents to plan, evaluate the plan, improve the plan, do the building, do the code auditing, user testing, like a human with browser, not just API calls and scripts, then give me visual evidence of how it improved with images, video, and an HTML report.
Yes, I do pretty much the same. It's doing me HTML reports, and also screw you all that you only have React. It's so easy to test stuff in React. React Native is so stupid. It's so stupid. Like, more I work in it, more I see how much tooling we are missing. Do you think that you're also in the video?
Yeah,
Are you sure?
it's wide.
Yeah, but anyways.
All right, you got me just paranoid. Okay, welcome to the AI party picnic.
It is picnic. So it's summer. This is summer episode. We are out, so I really hope nobody will start drilling or, tossing pipes around, which is exactly what happened a while ago. And from my side, I don't have any like topics that pop to my mind that I would like to not discuss, but like nothing happened in last couple of weeks that I find like so, mind like groundbreaking. So, but I also might be missing a lot of things because I've been completely out. What happened?
Well, I think Framer Agents and Framer 3.0 came out not too long ago. For me, what I'm really curious and excited about is the InStatic, which is kind of like a open source design CMS package. I've been really crushing on 5.6 release. I've been using a lot of Soul High.
I've been also just because I mix it with Terra, but it's been nice. It's now improving my design system as we speak. Maybe it's already done.
Nice. Yeah, and I mean it's been quite interesting like the contrast between Anthropic and OpenAI lately, where like OpenAI is like, no more 5-hour limits. Here's some resets. And by the way, now we reset for everyone, but here's a few that you can use when you want. And then Anthropic is like, well, I guess we're going to extend access to Fable 5 for one more week. And then no more goodies for you.
They're doing that every week. So now I'm just like expecting in the end of the week to get email. Oh, the Fable is, you know, available until this date. So like plus 7 days and limits are 50% higher or something. I'm like, okay.
Mm. But the great thing is that it's summer and I feel like, you know, at my startup in Vandal, we've been doing sales outreach, and even in prior ventures and whatnot, like July is always such a quiet month, especially in Finland. Like the rest of Europe kind of maybe is more on vacation during August, but it's been interesting, and I think it's a great time, and I'm really happy that we managed to find time to come, because in this day and age, it's so important to touch grass.
Literally.
And we're trying to show a good example, because you can go out and then talk about AI. And like, you know, if you leave your computer at home, you can still continue working on it. Like just before we started to record, Antonia, you were giving your AI some additional tasks.
Yeah, like I actually spend less time on a computer than before, like much, much, much less. My computer is just like a machine where Cloud Code lives and my projects live. And I'm on the go the whole time, and I'm just like barking at my phone, which is connected to that computer, and it's doing things. And then at one point of the day, I would just like come to check my HTML report or app, test it to see if it's coded well, like what kind of errors we have this time. But overall, I have a feeling that like in every wave of like new versions of AI, I spend less time on a computer, which is really nice. It's refreshing. And also, it's funny to say that I spend less time on a computer, considering that I might do also like some extra work on the side. I still somehow spend less time on a computer.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's crazy.
No more need to push pixels.
Well, essentially, yeah, essentially. Last time we spoke, you said, you know, I need to take it down a notch, you know, get out of this AI frenzy, whatnot. And I kind of felt the same. And I just wanted to like calm and like not work that much and think about AI for some time. And you mentioned Figma. And
Framer.
No, last time we spoke.
Oh, last time, right.
Figma, yes. And how, you know, you're going to Figma and doing some presentations and all that. Mm. So I also set up my bridge because I don't pay for Figma, so I don't have access, like I don't have MCP access. With bridge plugin, then easily workable and probably better solution than whatever they ship. So I did like a couple of passes for my pitch deck, but then private stuff happened, which I'm not going to talk about on this podcast, and I kind of didn't get around to fix it. But once I write it, I will send it to you to just give me, like, you know, I show thumbs up or down.
For those tuning in on the podcast platforms without the video.
If you didn't see that, that was my thumbs up or thumbs down. But yeah, like, are you now using Figma or are you using Framer?
Framer for me right now is more of a curiosity because I'm really driven to build and launch my design answers.
Yes.
And I actually noticed because also Sanity CMS, they had this cool idea that I came across in like a YouTube short where they have like visual drag, like for padding, but you can tie it to your token values. And so I was like kind of, I had this epiphany where it's like, okay, well, I've done this like canvas view, I've done hotspot commenting. I'm not that far away from like having a Framer like editing experience. Like, of course, then adding the agenticness in what they've done now and how thorough and refined, like it can't compete with that. But I've been driven to kind of like create my own method for basically like any repository you have, you could add through CLI an extension, and then that would open into like from a hotspot or whatever, and you'd get a visual editor for your project.
That would be great. I'm wishing for something like that for React Native projects because,
oof.
Yeah, That's a bit tough.
Yeah.
But yeah, like I would really love if there is like some editor where you just open your React Native project. It doesn't even need to show me my views. Just show me fucking components from Storybook. Just like proper visual editor where I can actually drag and click, because for this like nitpicky stuff, like, oh, not this color token, that one looks better on dark. It takes like 3 minutes for AI to do it. I can just do it. I actually started to reach out to my like code editors and doing some stuff manually because it's just like faster.
Yeah.
Thank you.
No, and that's the thing for me too, that in the visual editor, you can select anything and it's got that Figma thing where it's like if you hold command, it'll click and select exactly what's under your mouse. And then you can command and right click to see every element in the list. And then it gets the hover around it. So I'm really excited about that. But it, actually, like, because in Vandal, we're React Native based and I've built this design system. And I've recently, thanks to Fable and 5.6, finally managed to make independent versioning, because we have like what's in production now. And then we have the plans for what it will look like later. And I always struggled that, like, with Opus and 5.5, no matter how I tried, every version was just like a kind of like a slight reskin, but of the same structure. And for us, of course, what we have now in production structurally isn't how we want it to be expressed in the next versions. And so now, finally, I have, like, they're independent but connected. So, like, it would be really cool to weave into that a React Native view that it could literally pull from production and reconstruct the views and then make it possible to make slight edits and then push it as a PR.
That would be, like, it doesn't even sound that hard, but I didn't come across any tool that can do that. I have been trying to use pencil.dev to kind of draw components and some main views, because some tweaks that I needed to do, they're just like so stupid to, hey, for this button, horizontal padding, use token, then for color. I don't want to do that. Like, I can actually click and get to the point, and sometimes I don't know what I want.
No.
I need to quickly click and toggle like between stuff to kind of understand if I like something or not. These like quick tweaks with AI are very inefficient, so I don't know. Can somebody make that?
But that's what I love about Framer, because they're 3.0. Like, basically anything, like, instead of recreating Framer to be like this, yeah, like prompt your way to success, they brought it as like a side panel, but made everything that you can do in Framer yourself basically like API callable. And they opened up their platform to outside agents as well. And I really believe that that's like the future, what we're going toward, that like, yeah, you can use us just as the data storage, you know, the Salesforce strategy. You can work with our tools because we believe they're the best to do what you need to do to get done. Or if you want, you know, use your access token and use Codex, Claude Code, whatever you want, and work and synchronize it from there. And of course, the downside from a business strategy perspective is that you lose your lock-in in a way. But I think that truly, like, you should be competing with quality rather than artificial scarcity in a way, you know, like you should make it as seamless for people to be able to come and go as they please.
Yeah, like win customers by quality and the light you offer, not artificial, but like actual like cuffs that you put.
No.
It's hard to get yourself out of that.
Well, at least those are soft. Soft, fluffy cuffs. No, but
expensive fluff.
But I would say, you know, for a business owner, you know, it's like, why would you rent your own data back? You know, like when you think about it, like it is understandable in the world that used to exist pre-2023, but like now where we're at, like we all have the capacity to own our data and volunteer our interactions with these other ones. You're like, everyone should have a PostgreSQL that has all of their information about their company in proper form so that you can take it wherever, whenever you need. You know, like that's your IP. That's like, what if something happens with this service that you're using? What if, you know, there's all these scenarios. And of course we can say like, well, if that happens, everyone will have bigger problems to worry about. But I think it's a bit dishonest. Like truly, it's not just about owning your data, it's being able to access it in the ways that you want to do the things that you want. And, you know, like I have some companies that I know that are like in the Microsoft world. And even there, they could create in their Azure environment a PostgreSQL database and create copies, but they don't want to do that because IT is like, why would we have one more system? But now they've all the time been in this state where it's like, oh, but soon we don't need to build our own thing because soon Microsoft will release the thing where then we can do it. And to this day, they're the only environment where their agents cannot edit files or place new files in specific folders. They just hand it back to you as an output. Can you believe that, Antonia?
Well, I really have a special animosity towards this, like, monolithic, huge organizations that just don't work. Like, I don't like big companies. I like indie stuff. Like, they usually work nicer. I'm not surprised. I mean, what to expect from a company that employs millions of people, where half of them are just sitting in meetings and waving hands? I mean, like, stuff doesn't happen in such organizations. Like, if you want to stuff happen and have modern tech, you have a small, intentionally small startup with professionals.
I mean, I've been having so much fun, like the systems and things that I've been building at Vandal, like for our own internal use. I would have never been able to do half of that stuff in some place that wasn't mine.
Most companies, yeah.
Yeah.
I have like a certain freedom to like experiment like you do. But I still get beaten from time to time, like, oh, but we need to have this in Figma. I mean,
well, at least now it's very straightforward. Whatever you have in code, you can have in Figma quick.
It's not that quick, unfortunately, because I have like so much like this easy stuff, like lists and yada yada. But I have a lot of like these quasi games. That is something that AI really cannot draw easily.
Mm.
Because it's like very heavy graphics and there's a lot of SCIA and animations. It's just like, it doesn't know how to do it.
Yeah. Well, I have the same thing, but like kind of if you vibe code it to get at least like the overall flow and like the placeholders that then need some refinement, like that part is like even a few months ago would have been very, very painful compared to now.
Yeah, the point is, I don't want to have like the final polish part by me. I don't want to work in Figma anymore. Like,
that's the dream.
No, seriously. Like, I don't remember. Maybe like in Q1, I was like properly working something in Figma, but like in Q2, I don't know if I spent like one full hour in Figma.
Mm, wow.
Yeah, I've been just like in terminals, trying all. By the way, I moved away from warp.dev. Now I'm using SupaCode.
SupaCode.
It's built on top of Ghosty library.
Mm.
And it's really nice because on the sidebar, you can see your work trees and branches. And, you know, sometimes if you don't have like real-time view of your branch that you're working on, if you're like minimalistic, you know, set up, that beat me like several times in the ass. Whoa. Because if I'm not aware in what branch I am, I mean, you can easily forget, you know, one session can be like whole day. You go wash dishes, you watch some TV show, you come back, take a shower. I don't remember what I was talking about with AI. And then you're like in a completely wrong branch. And then you're like, why is that working? Like, well, and I work between like, 2-3 computers and you can imagine the hell of sync. Like, why is it this not working? Like on this computer, I'm pulling from main. Like and then it's like, no, but I've been pushing the branch the whole time. Like,
yeah.
So stupid issues. But like with this SupaCode, like you can really real time, like see everything that's happening. And I, because of that's very simple and quite good looking, sidebar, I prevented like few disasters because sometimes the AI will do like create a work tree, even though if you like you don't ask it specifically, like, I don't know, I want you to work on this, like don't make me.
I had a lot of clarity with my AI. I kept running into that issue. And then basically I just told the AI, like, listen, we're going to have
this, bro.
I'm like, listen,
bro.
No, because it's like when I do this, it means I had to take time and do a bit of iterating, because this was not a one-shot.
Did you do this, like, stupid AI?
No, the Fable and 5.6 have conversations and I'm just in the corner and I feel like I'm left out. No, but I was like, we're going to work on like the main thing. Like, you are the orchestrator, and if there is something that we are actively previewing and trying out, that's what we got right now. That'll be the active branch. But I'm going to want you to do other things, so you better make sure that all of that stuff happens in work trees. And then if I ever get to the point where I need to bring a work tree into local, we do that consciously and with approval. And since I made it understand, we're showing like hand gestures.
We will upload this video.
Yes. And after that, no issues. I haven't had any data lost. I still had some, I had to create some hooks to make sure that it cleans up the work trees and to ensure that it goes enough, like that it babysits the PR, because I have some like code review agents that come in and give it another look-see. And yeah, some, like if you don't have Linear hooked up to GitHub, or GitHub is having its classical issues, like keeping that connection, like now most of a lot of the time that goes into making a feature or something is more of the testing and maintenance and doing the necessary procedures that everything goes according. But yeah, nowadays, like with BetterAuth or WorkOS, as long as you don't mind the build minutes, like being able to test and preview environments is really, really nice. But yeah, ever since I've gotten Fable to be the orchestrator and to use Codex as an adversarial reviewer, like, and to use work trees and to understand that what we're working on here, because I also have in Warp that it shows like the active branch. Mm. But I just find that ever since I made this very clear as a universal rule, I haven't had data loss. But I think it's like a rite of passage, you know, like you have to have you get the bill, the unexpected bill that you didn't account for.
Yes.
And you lose data. Mm-hmm. And then you roll back something and then you wonder like why it's no longer.
Yeah, you merge a branch like randomly from like 3 months ago and then it breaks everything. It happened. I also did a like similar system. I'm also using Linear to track everything as in like basically... I'm emulating a theme, so, you know, I call it like Vocab PM. It's like CLI tool that I built for myself. I'm still building. But I think I managed to get it to a point where it's really self-sufficient. So basically, if I put like this command, I will see like live like board with all the tickets. It's really nice. And I can see real time like on which step each ticket is. I'm also sometimes using different models for coding because I'm trying to reduce the tokens I use and I'm trying to consciously reduce my bills. I don't want to like go token maxing. I have nothing from it. My point is I want to reduce my bills to nothing and then say, hey, I'm still building. So, I've been using a lot of DeepSeek and what is its name? GLM.
GLM, yeah.
Yeah. 5.2. That has been great. A lot of stuff in Vocab has been coded with that. If I have a lot of tokens left in a session or like weekly quota, I will just say, yeah, don't use like those. I use it through Open Router. Then I say, don't use Open Router, just like delegate to Sonnet 5 and finish the task. But yeah, by default, it will try to use Open Router and those open weight models. They're very cheap.
Mm.
They're cheap. Well,
Kimi K3 now is more expensive than 5.6.
But also better.
Yeah, yeah. Like some of the tests, it's pretty phenomenal. But yeah, no, it's funny. Like everything, like also like open source stuff has really gone forward in the last few weeks.
Like, look at this. No, I'm just like what happened with
Antonia's is admiring herself.
No, I'm like shocked. Like, what happened? I will never wear shorts again.
Oh, Antonio, you're great.
But like, I used to be like a sports beast, and like the stupid AI. Look what it did from my.
Yeah, we were having a bit of a midlife crisis before we started recording.
Yeah, we were sure. I was poking Vitaly. How old is he? But
no,
you don't have cellulite. Show me. Oh, okay. I don't have cellulite here. I just have fat here.
Yeah,
my cellulite is just like...
Everyone gets their own gifts. That's how it works.
But I will fix it. I'm on a mission now. And AI will help me with that. You know what I do with my Dex, the agent? Jesus, Vitaly, like that agent saves my butt continually, saves hours upon hours upon hours. I literally take a picture of what I eat and say, make me like a diary log, something. You will be my fitness coach because it's connected to my Ultra Human Ring and soon the watch. So it grabs information every day, knows how I slept and all the metrics for my body. What else? Yeah, and then I put pictures. Last 3 days I failed to do so because I literally forgot that I started to do that, but I will continue from tomorrow morning. I need to put a reminder. And I didn't even say how to lead that diary because it has connection to Craft app. It just started a new page there and like logs everything there.
Nice.
How smart is my Dex? Dex is so great. It's so smart. It's fable fixed its memory. It's not a dumb idiot. I had like some stupid issue. Like that's like shows like how AI is like actually stupid. So in one MD file, it was like almost like a scratch file where Dex was supposed to store like few recent Telegram messages that we exchanged just in case if it's restarted or anything. So it's not like what message and it's like
Yeah. Short-term, long-term memory.
exactly. So for long term it has Pinecone, but this short term was like kicking its butt. The function that was dealing with this scratch pad was on every write it would overwrite everything instead of just appending. I spent many sessions asking Opus analyze and find like some shit that we created before. It never ever flagged it. But then I believe it was Fable who like maybe a few days ago found that. I'm like, that explains a lot of things. But now it's fixed. Now I know what was the error and now it's fixed.
Yeah. No, another rite of passage. I mean, shit. So many things can be like, it was funny. I was watching a video by Theo yesterday going through the 5.6 codex system prompt and just flaming out on it.
Yeah, I was
That
also
was a rid.
listening.
Oh my God. Like, you know.
8 pixel radius. What? But don't tell me what radius. Like, I decide that.
Yeah, no, but so it's like if you're working on a database, it'll be like, hey, 8 pixel radius.
No, like.
But it was so long and it was so bad, you know, and it's like so hilarious that like you have these massive companies pushing the frontier and the output can be so bad and still it persists, you know, like it's in despite that, it still is good, you know, it's like actively being harmed. And then you get these funny things like, yeah, if you put it in your own harness, it does better than the OpenAI one.
Yeah, like he was putting it in Claude Code
Cloud Code, yeah.
and liking that. I actually have Claude Code subscription and also Codex su subscription for this month. I just needed a lot of power this month.
Yeah.
My bank account is like I have like maybe like a few euros left.
Tell me about it. But I've been consistently putting 200 and 200. For Codex and OpenAI and Anthropic and but it's such a powerhouse. Like my if I had it in APIs, it would be
Oof.
normally 20,000, but this week I've been close to 30,000 worth.
In
It's
API,
crazy.
forget about it.
Yeah.
I'm thinking, like, what if one day they decide to stop subsidizing these subscriptions?
Well, I mean, I think it's like a gym, you know? You know, like what if people actually had to pay what that equipment is worth inside of there? Like their main customers are enterprise, you know, like all of this subscription is PR, and I do think that it'll get tighter, and I do think they'll have higher levels. Same way how like, you know, Fable is the new Opus, they'll have a $500 or even a $1,000 plan that will, you know, like, and then they'll get rid of the $20 plan, and then you can either do 50, 100, 200, or 1,000 or something like that, you know, like it's gonna happen, but at the same time. You know, because it's like year over year, the things you do with AI gets 50 times cheaper, right? So the challenge really is just that we keep throwing bigger and bigger things at it. Like, think about what you were doing last year with AI in
Yeah, it's
July.
like stupid. Like 1 year ago, what we did, and we were like so excited, like showing like laughters to each other.
Yeah,
Now it seems
look
like,
at this
wow.
B0 prototype I made.
Like I'm like ashamed of that. Like I don't want to talk about.
I'm still pretty proud of some of the stuff that I did back then. Like,
So that's good.
I made a freaking drag and drop Gantt project like resource management tool with the freaking zero, like insane. Like, it took me so much effort and so much headbang, but it's so primitive and clunky compared to what we can do now. But it's, you know, so it's like cute. It's like, you know, when you made beats back when you get into like making music and whatnot.
I am also thinking, like, what happens with this, like, big startups that are just inflated because coding was very expensive and very difficult up till 1-2 years ago. Like, imagine Miro. First of all, they have some competitors. Second of all, I know one founder that just wanted to consolidate costs for software. So, you know, he already has subscription for Cloud Code, so he just vibe coded a replica of Miro, literally like a real-time canvas where we can punch in our ideas and that's it. It doesn't have to be like flashy or I don't know what. And it works. He's not even technical.
Mm-hmm.
Like, why would you pay for when you can make... I mean, of course, you don't want to be bundled with the maintenance of the same, but...
Well, I mean, I think that's something... the answer lies somewhere in, like, you know, like... there's been website generators for God knows how long, you know, Squarespace and all of these people, you know, that make pretty great websites. And still, a lot of people opt rather to pay for a professional web design agency or individual to do it for them, and it costs much more. And, like, in a way, I do think that some people will start doing that, but I think also some people will face some of these issues that we were talking about, like data loss. You know, because you're basically maintaining your own system at that
exactly.
point.
So you basically need. So, what I think is, you basically need to decide. Okay, I'm willing to maintain it also along the way, because sometimes I even pay for a service that I know I can wipe code in maybe one day.
Yeah.
To a point where it's maybe even better than that service, but I just consciously decide, no, I'm not going to do that because they're thinking about this product day in, day out. I just need it for this. I'm just going to pay them this $20 for this month so I get my value out and then we're done.
Yeah. No, and but I think that, you know, think about like this Miro thing, right? So like if you have it for yourself, great. Okay, you bring in some people, you make WebSocket connection. All right, it's working. Then you got to export, you know, then it's like, oh, you have that issue, you know, like then maybe there's some data overrides. Maybe there's a server reset. You know, you accidentally push back a merge, you know, like, or you get a bug or someone tries to connect with an iPhone, you know, or like, oh, now, like, you know, we want to import this template, you know, like, so so much goes into having an actually useful tool in your workflow. And I think that, like, there's more and more, like, how easy it is that you just, like, say, and you do a one-off, you know, that you make a little program just so you can make this year's tax return, you know? You're not even thinking about making it into something long-term.
Exactly, just, like, throw away little apps.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, maybe this founder will not use this. Maybe, I don't know, we will use Post-its or something like that. But, yeah, for this use case, it worked.
Yeah.
We did brainstorming and we saved a bunch of money.
Yeah, no, and I'm so excited because I think the question that you ask of, like, why would I pay is such a great thing that now people are asking much more, you know? And I think that, because I don't think that it's like, oh, well, anyone can make a successful dentistry appointment app, you know? Because it's like, what the fuck do you know about dentistry? You know, like, it's the, like, with design, of course, if you go into an interview and did service design and all of this, like, you, of course, could, like, that's the beautiful thing of being a designer now who's technically minded and, like, on the edge. Of what the tech enables.
Lunacy. Oh, yeah.
That too. You know, people think like psychosis is like that you have the chatbot girlfriend. It's, you know, go and do this feature for me now.
Yeah, you know what's a psychosis or like lunacy? So I'm in the airport. I sent you a picture. So I'm in the airport. I have a fucking layover. 4 hours, 4.5 hours or something like that. I'm in Frankfurt and I don't know what to do with myself. I mean, I found some actually quite great Italian restaurants. I think I'm going to go again if I'm in Frankfurt. It was so great. Great pizza. Not pizza, pizza. super nice like people working there. Great beer. Anywho, I am digressing here. So I was like, I'm going to vibe code for 4 hours my language learning app, Vocabulary, that you should definitely download if you didn't. If you don't, I'm going to be really pissed off. Not even sad. I will be pissed off. So download now. Go to App Store or Google Play and put Vocabulary and scroll a bit because it's not on top, and then download it. And I was just like walking around with my laptop like this. So I was, you know, just like carrying on my left arm, half opened laptop, like, you know, lid was, you know, almost closed, but not quite.
The classic semi-pinch?
Yeah. And I was just like walking because I was also browsing stores, but I was walking with my laptop. I sent a picture to Vitaly because I thought it was hilarious. And I bet some people who saw me like that they know, they knew exactly what's happening. But nobody came to me and said, like, vibe coding much.
Yeah. I look forward to it. I think it'll already be this time next year that the evolution that Anthropic finally did with Claude Cowork will also finally happen with Claude Code. You can start the session local and then walk off, close your computer, and it'll just happen in the cloud. You know, Cursor is already pretty advanced with that. And I mean, like, I got my cloud environment set up, but it's never the same when it's just like the current way of cloud versus that it's actually like just like does what Grok Build did to all those repos. But, you know, like intent for the user, not to steal from them.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I personally don't care about it at all because I don't want to work off cloud. I like to work off my own device because...
No, but think about it like Dropbox for development.
I don't want, like, I want my computer, like, to be the basis for everything because, for example, I have my Vocabulary PM CLI tool. Then I need to port that to this.
No, but what if it's all taken care of? That's the thing. You know, that's the vision. Because as long as it would be a pain, of course, no one would do it. But I think, like, the way that technology is progressing and how many people are suffering from thumb cramping because of all the semi-pinching, I just think that the developers are very motivated to solve this issue.
I mean, sure, like, if they solve it in a way that it's plug and play and there are no hiccups or bugs, sure, I'm going to use it. But for now, I like to have my machine running with caffeinate dims command.
I mean, I really think, like, Theo Brown, like, he had a really nice setup where he has, like, this his own computer, this Linux power beast. And then he can completely remotely control it, SSH to it. So then he can, like, kind of set the stuff to go. But then it's like his own private cloud, basically. And it's exactly tuned the way that he wants it. And he controls it from his own, like, laptop. So he can close the computer and it's just happening there. But he can access it as if it's on his computer.
I already did that with my old Air. Of course, mine is not like Linux beast. It's just 5-6 years old MacBook Air. Mm. But I log in, like, with the tunnel, with SSH, I don't know, like, how, like, I'm using Tailscale. So I just put, like, I made an alias. I just put Air in terminal, and it will log into my computer if it's, you know, open and working. But it is caffeinate dims. And while I was away and I had to, the DEX, the agent lives there. So that's primarily computer for DEX.
Yeah.
And when I had, like, some bugs on DEX, I just, like, you know, logged to this MacBook Air from my computer from terminal and just da-da-da-da-da. Like, it's pretty trivial to set it up. But, yeah, I don't know. Like, maybe I'm missing a point, but I just don't like to work on cloud. I find it slow. They always want money from you because you're using their infra. Like, if I...
Yeah, but if it's yours, you don't have to pay anybody.
If they have, like, some solution that is still running on my computer, but I can easily connect from elsewhere. I mean...
Well, I should link you the video. It was really, really interesting.
Send me the video because right now I, for example, I always have remote control on. It works most of the time. Like, I would say 96% it works as it's supposed to, but then it drops sometimes.
I use Rust Desk. It's pretty good for that.
Yeah, I don't even use any of this, like, AnyDesk, Rust, whatever, TeamViewer. So on one computer, for example, this new MacBook that I have is running something. And if for whatever reason, let's say from work computer, I want to quickly connect to see something, I usually have two options. Either I just open Claude.ai and in code, because it's remote controlled by default, I see it there, like it's already working. So I don't need anything better than that. This is already what works for me. Or if I want to click UI, then I would use Google Remote or Chrome Remote, whatever is the name, for some clicking. Very rarely, I use that on Windows machine much more. So I don't know.
Yeah, no, but it's crazy. It feels like such a wild west, but like the capabilities are so next level. Like I was just saying before we started recording, like this week has been very exceptional in like how much work units my AI system has been able to create for me. Like think about it like this, like dear viewer, listener, at Vandal, like we have, of course, our production software. We have a prototype of that that I use to develop ideas that then are moved to production. But we actually have used it a lot in sales. So now I created this thing called Demo Studio that allows us to customize our prototype to look like different organizations like record labels. So we can use different data sources to find their roster, their information, and then like kind of pre-populate it so that it looks like it has the singles and artists and files and projects, all of it there. And then we have a cold outreach engine that then like finds the information about them and then can even like send emails that we approve to like kind of reach out and try to like book a call with us. And so it's like now this week it's been improving the prototype. It's been building up the capabilities of the demo studio and the cold outreach all in one based on our OKRs and like a Q3 strategy. And of course, like a lot of it is like creating the plans, giving it clear direction. But once I've set it to go, like it's insane. Like seeing like 32 sub agents completed over a course of 24 hours and then having like the prototype go 28 rounds back and forth between like Opus, Fable, 5.6, reviewing it, evaluating it, testing it. And then, yeah, just generating screenshots, walkthrough video with annotation and a nice rich HTML report to go through and with the links and everything to like go and validate it personally. And like, you should never be the first thing that sees what an agent does. An agent should always review it first.
Oh, yeah. Talking about review, it's actually happening right now on my computer. So I've been very unhappy with the QA on my machine in my setup. I felt that I'm also half-assing that because I get so excited to push new feature and see numbers grow and, you know, people talking about it, that I actually rush this very important part, which bites me in the ass every fucking time.
Especially when you don't think you need to.
Yeah, exactly. And in most inconvenient moments, like when one teacher is pouring now students in the app, and I have so much bugs right now to fix, I'm like, but anyways. So I literally last night told Claude, like, okay, stop working on the app. We will work on your CLI and your skills now. And we are working on that until it's done. Like, we are not moving from making you QA beast. And then Claude was like, yeah, let's make me QA beast. so basically I want to have, I'm using Maestro to map all the flows in the app. And of course, in future, when I change something like order architecture, it will change this flow if needed. But I want to have like detailed flows of anything, everything in my app. Just like, of course, that's a lot of like YAML to fill correctly.
No, and it's good because it also helps with the end-to-end testing.
Exactly. So not only it does like this, like jests and whatnot tests that don't reveal like true errors. Usually, now it has like bunch of funnels mapped, and then it goes and uses my Pixel 8 as a real device, and then iOS simulator as iOS simulator, and it goes through both in waves. And right now, actually, like it's working since last night, so I have like tons of funnels already mapped, and also because in my app it's not like, you know, from point A to point D and you're kind of done, because now I introduced localization What if change, like I change language three times? What if I then go back here? What if I this? What did I, but what, how, what
How does
happened?
this title look like in German?
That as well. I'm actually not QAing, like, localization that much. I'm using AGI to translate everything for free for me. And I'm just like hoping it's correct. So far, I heard really good feedback. It's not perfect. Even sometimes in English, it will produce some weird shit, and you always do long shit. But I'm fixing as I'm going. So more people respond like, "Oh, this string is shit," then I can fix it. Maybe I should crowdsource it. Maybe I should go to Reddit. Hey, like, do you want to practice language? I have a task for you. I'm making this language learning app, and I need to work on localization. Like, here is the link. Can you fix everything? This would go viral or burn.
Yeah, no, you need to make a CAPTCHA for languages, so like what Google did with image recognition, select all the traffic lights. So
Just
you just
scam people to,
crowdsource.
yeah.
Oh, but
What?
yeah, you make your, how they have the spelling bees. So you make it into a, you gamify it into a crowd game. And then, the one who's fastest to select the right one, and then you just let them see the options. And then they, you can just have the power of the crowds figure it out.
It's like money
And then
version, but
that becomes your big success.
that would be hilarious. I'm like, oh my God, like this stupid shit became success and this thing where I'm pouring for a year, like my soul and everything. But this vocab adventure taught me about product, most of the things that I actually believe in right now. Because before I was like maybe too much in love with perfect pixels. I mean, I'm still am. Like, if app is ugly and shit, I'm gonna be the first one to say this shit. But I mean, I also learned to compromise a little bit with some things. But I pivoted so many times. I mean, you saw it from version one. Like, it changed so many times. I wish I have a screenshot from all this. I should have like work on a diary. As I was working along, maybe, if I'm
But you
successful.
can, but it's all in Git.
I mean, it's all
You
in
can
Git.
reconstruct.
Yeah. One day when AIs are like fast and omnipotent, then I will just say, okay, find all points in GitHub, recreate, take screenshots, and make me a blog post like Vocabee through versions. But yeah, like version one was so stupid. Like, it was just like these cards, nothing. And then it got like little streaks, which I actually killed those. I don't believe in those. I mean, don't believe. Like, not now. It's not for me right now. Then I changed UI a bazillion of times, and now just this week I landed on UI that I feel that it might be a banger with this play button, because I saw your reaction. Your reaction was, "Oh, I like that." Why did you react that way?
No, I mean the options that give you the way of how would you like to proceed with this learning session is brilliant, no? Because sometimes I want to be more thorough and challenged. Other times I want to do 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 do.
Yeah, and I'm gonna, sometime in future think about more visual gamification. So you maybe actually play a game while learning. Maybe some people learn better this way because there is no linear language learning. It doesn't exist.
Yeah, it's more exposure. Like the more you can be exposed to the language, the better.
Exactly. So if you feel staring at words, black and white is like mind-numbing, like for me, then great. Then you will just select Super Mario, but with words, something will jump, I don't know, and then you will remember, But I need funding for that. So if you have a lot of money, please contact me. Thank you.
Multilingual karaoke. Is it a Reebok
I
or
love this.
a
Dibu, what a night.
Nike? Can
Dibu without you can leave.
but maybe that's a good place to wrap.
Yeah.
This AI age is about experimentation and putting yourself into situations you feel uncomfortable in. It's kind of like I said to my CEO that development or building things, and especially like with AI, it's like bouldering. The wall always wins. Like when you're able to do the easier stuff, you start reaching higher and higher, and the reach always extends the grasp. And I think that's a healthy place to be in as long as you can take the heat, because it can be quite frustrating. So it's important every now and then to stop.
Touch
and
grass.
Touch some grass.
Eat some crackers.
Yep. You know, these two crackers are saying adios.
Adios.
Free audio post-production by Alphonic.com.